We have flown back across space and time in a little dinky ship to bring you to the captain's quadrant. Dinky. It's very white inside. It's all very sterile, and we're happy to be here with you. But once again, we are not alone. We are with Brian Kane. He is the host of the On the Stardate podcast. We're very happy to have you with us. And of course, good to see you, sir. And of course, we are with our host, Jason Roy Gaston.
Hello.
And myself, Joe the Dove. How's it going, guys?
It's going great. It's
going great, Jason.
I just got smacked by my cat, and now I think I'm bleeding out of my upper lip.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Wow.
Nice. Oh, wow. I think that cat was really named Sylvia.
Her name is Murder Bean, actually.
It's a very fitting name. That is
very fitting name.
Yeah.
I like that a lot better.
Yes, yes. So we're here to talk about Lower Decks. There was so much fun to be had in this fantastic episode, but I don't want to give it all away. So I just want to start off this episode with, of course, the very important warning. Condition Moopsie. Yes, Condition Moopsie. If you didn't see this episode, please be sure to go watch the episode and then come back and watch us. And it's important you do that because, you know, we don't want to spoil it for you. I mean,
or just watch us. We don't care.
Yeah,
we're not your mom.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not your dad. I don't think.
No. I'm sure a few paternity tests could get to the bottom of that.
Pretty sure no.
Pretty sure no? Okay.
Pretty sure no.
All right. That's fine.
That's a point, though. You know, have we had any good paternity test episodes in Star Trek? No, not yet, right? No, not paternity tests. No,
they should definitely do one.
There was one where they kidnapped Kira and took her to Cardassia and dressed her up like a Cardassian, and then it was just, you are not the father.
Yeah.
And then she got sad.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah. So,
yeah. They never determined quite who the father was of Counselor Troy's son in the child either.
Oh, wow. Did you watch our Agony Booth episode of that?
Oh, no, I need to go back and
you gotta go back and watch that one. Oh boy. We're going to say quick hellos before we jump into the synopsis, where Jason Gaston will read. So Cosmic Mom says, hello. Hello, mother.
Hello, Cosmic Mom.
We've got our Admiral, the funniest frontier. Lower decks.
Lower decks. Delta shift. Delta shift.
Again. Our good friend Aaron Sugar says, middle decks.
They keep getting promoted. We're going to have to change the show's name to Middle Decks.
Exactly. Yeah. Very true. Yeah.
Upper decks.
Yeah.
Well, an upper decker is something completely different, but you know.
Oh, geez. Yeah. You went there.
I set it up.
Jason. You did. And for him to knock it out of the park in his Niners shirt. Look at that. Perfect. Look at that. These all things come together. We've got two red shirts and Joe Dove.
Yeah, one of the red shirts won't last.
Yes, and we know which one that is. No offense, Brian. All right. Jason, take it away.
Old friends, new planets. Mariner confronts her past in the season finale.
Yeah, they gave me very little to work with this week. It was, you know. But in any case, let us hop into First Contact.
Thanks.
Yes, the class.
Classy.
Hey, I'm honored.
All right. Well, the honor is all yours, sir. And we just want to say one quick hello to Ernesto. So how you doing, Chief? Now, our guest.
Passing of gas is a time-honored Vulcan tradition.
It is. There is a whole movement to it.
There's a logical passing of gas. It's a logical gas passage.
Yes, it's very important.
They also call it the transfer of the Katra.
Oh, no. Oh, yes. I love that. Some of Sarek is slipping out of Picard right now.
The reason why they played that music really loud at the end of Star Trek 3 was because that's all you heard was...
Especially at the end of that movie, right? You could have called that the Pon fart.
The Well done. All right. Well, with that, let's get your first.
Well, you hold it in for 7 years and see how well you did.
My point exactly. Yeah. My point exactly.
All right, Brian. So what's your first contact with this episode? The finale of Lower Decks. I can't believe that this is on away already.
It went so fast and I had to watch it three times. Oh. I watched it three times back to back, mainly because I knew I was going to be talking about it, but also because I really did enjoy it a lot. I enjoyed the first part, the second part. So I watched it as soon as it hit the clock. Normally I'm waiting for my wife and we have a whole to do with it, have something fancy to eat or make something fun to eat while we're doing it. But I had to watch it ahead of her so that I could be with you two gents tonight.
Yeah.
So I'm just telling you, I loved it from beginning to end. It homaged my favorite Star Trek movie front and center in a variety of different ways. I guess since we're on Moopsie Alert, we can talk about the spoilers. I loved it. I actually didn't have any qualms. I mean, the only qualm I have is
we'll get into the qualms later.
We'll save that for later.
Yes, we'll save that for pros and cons. All right, Jason Roy Gaston, your first contact.
It was a really great season finale. I would say it's probably one of the better season finales Trek has ever done. I will go that far.
Wow.
They made some jokes I thought they were going to, and they did some things I was not expecting, and some surprising cameos I was not expecting. I enjoyed it. I thought that it was a really great episode.
I agree. I love the episode. I had a great time watching it. It was a lot of fun and there were a lot of surprises. I did not expect a return to Orion this late in the game, but I was pleasantly surprised when they did return to Orion because that was a lot of fun and quite a hoot because I have strong and terrible allergies. So I get the pain of the Orion. I was like, oh, I feel that. I feel that 100%. I was like, oh no, I know all about those terrible allergies. And it was really cool to see the Orion Juggernaut get on screen again. So without further ado, gentlemen, let us hop into.
Sometimes it may be good. Sometimes it may be shit.
Yes, our pros and cons. What was a maybe good and what was maybe shit? We will start with Jason Roy Gaston this time.
Okay, so pros. First of all, always great to hear Will Wheaton back as Wesley Crusher. And I especially am just in awe of how he was able to get his voice to crack like a teenager again.
Yeah.
As soon as his voice cracked, I was like, eh. That's Will. He's having the piss out of himself. I like that. Boy, what there was so much. The homages to Star Trek II, including the Genesis device and the nebula or the ion storm going through there. Boy, Robert Duncan McNeil had so much fun this episode, just playing completely unhinged, against his usual type. And I don't want to take everything up, but I do want to say that I appreciated how this episode went and basically referenced almost every other episode of the season in one way or another. We had all the callbacks to Mark Twain and the Genesis device, and it just seemed like every now and again we were just going back to a previous episode saying, hey, look what we did here. It kind of reminded me of... I think it was the fourth season finale of Doctor Who, or excuse me, the fourth series finale of Doctor Who, whenever it just seemed like they referenced every episode that they had, just showing, hey, look at what we built. I don't think that Lower Decks did it quite adeptly. I've had some issues with the way that they've handled Mariner this year. And if, again, my con is just the way that Mariner was suddenly Cito's best friend and we only just found out about it last week and that's why she's been self-sabotaging all this time. The stink of that is still on this episode. It's not quite as pungent as it was last episode, but still great episode. I thought it was wonderful. One of the best that this show's done.
Wow, one of the best. You put it up
one of the best.
Best of both world type of
One of the best that Lower Decks
has ever done. Okay.
I don't think it's fair to compare Lower Decks to the other Treks. They're just two different genres.
Okay, that's fair. All right, our special guest, Brian.
I loved all of the homages. I did love the way that they revisited every episode this season. You know, it felt very cohesive, and it was almost like watching weekly Trek in the manner that if you missed last week and you weren't fortunate enough to catch a rerun, this kind of caught you up, even though there's no such thing as missing things anymore in streaming, because you know, there's no reruns. You just watch it when you want. There's no excuse to miss it. I love the homages. I loved the musical homages too, to the James Horner score. I mean, those were I got a little tear in my eye when I heard once they got into the nebula, the ion storm. Mm-hmm. And I was hoping for a kind of, you know, the captain's yacht to pop up behind Robert Duncan McNeil's ship, Locarno's ship. I was hoping for that, but, you know, we didn't get that. I guess we doing cons?
Yeah, pros and cons.
Pros and cons. Okay, so I guess my only con would be my running con with all newer Trek is that there isn't enough fresh material. It kind of bites off of pre-existing material, but that was the whole kind of point of this episode, with Locarno. I also, to Jason's point, didn't really care for the fact that we're just now finding out that that Mariner had this great relationship with Sito. And I mean, I always kind of felt like the show itself was connected to the Lower Decks episode on Next Gen in more than just the obvious ways. The fact that they're in nearly every episode, they're damaging a shuttle, kind of the way that our Lower Deckers were in Next Gen for a mission. And I keep thinking maybe at the end of the show, we'll get to what that means. And maybe they're damaging a shuttle for another mission, who knows. But I expected more connections to between Mariner and perhaps those Lower Decks characters or that episode much, much sooner than now. It just feels like it was kind of just squeezed into this for the purpose of bringing Nick Locarno back. So that didn't seem quite as cohesive to me, but I loved the rest of the episode, especially the musical. Just amazing.
Top notch. I concur. I absolutely love this episode. I thought it hit every mark. It stuck to the landing, as so many folks have said all over the internet. I fortunately somehow managed to dodge each and every spoiler somehow all day, because I am unable to watch it until the end of the day. And I was like the Matrix today, you know, just dodging spoilers.
I genuinely wake up at 4:30 in the morning to watch Trek, so it does not wow. get spoiled. You are weak and have no honor.
No, I have low tolerance for coffee.
He called you a patak.
He told me a patak. But he called you a patak. I guess we're going to have to just challenge you to the duel to death when we meet.
Him and his cat's paws.
Yeah, right. The problem is he's much taller than me, so his defense is just going to be
pretty much, yeah.
Come here. But
I be like space balls, just
yeah. I'm Darth Ellen. I'm gonna get you. I don't know why my voice gets higher when I get into a fight. But
is that what is? You're gonna pick me up at the airport, and you're just gonna be like, hey,
it's good to meet you, Ripsy.
Where is my moves? There we
go. Hey, you take out your moopsie. I got to pull out my Elton John.
Oh, there you go. Saturday. I don't really know many
Elton He's John. He's a rocket man.
Rocket man.
Rocket
man. I love the animation in this episode. It seemed to come to another level. I don't know how to best describe it other than I was blown away with some of the things they were able to pull off. That whole special shielding that he had around their Delta system, I thought was incredible. It kind of reminded me of Encounter at 4 Point, where they had that shield that Q put up, right? The same red. I thought it was really cool to see that, and it was such a great rendition of that. And then the most amazing thing is you have such a big cast in this particular episode with all the different aliens. And I mean, it could be just some people just doing other voices, but one of my biggest pros is the assortment of different species coming together in this situation and actually kind of sticking together throughout most of it. I expected some type of implosion, but it didn't happen. They really were like, nah, we're going to stick together. We're going to handle this. And, you know, there's no leader until like Locarno really pushed it. And then he became a Khan-esque character. And I thought that just was funny. I thought it was perfect writing. Another pro for me, absolutely, was Locarno becoming a planet. Oh, since there's pieces of scattered all over the planet, might as well name it Planet Locarno. I thought that was brilliant.
After a criminal.
Yeah, exactly. I think somebody had mentioned it in the chat, and I'll bring it up later. But this is something that I thought of too. I was just sad that we didn't get a Tom Paris versus Locarno moment, ship to ship, like the Delta Flyer comes like sliding in to try to help him out. But I thought they did a great job with the Captain Freeman doing that. And, you know, you're going to do anything for your kid. And it's proven here. And she was so happy when, you know, they basically proved that she wasn't going to be doing anything into this new Federation-esque. They was like, oh, he's crazy. And I'm going to get out of here. I thought that was a lot
of fun. This guy sucks.
I love that. I love that so much.
Was incredible. I absolutely loved that that whole scene, and there's just so much fun. And of course, one of the biggest pros, you know, besides them sticking to the landing, was the steam runner. It is so good to see a familiar face, especially one as beautiful as the steam runner. And that's why Jason's homage this season is to that steam runner.
It is such a weird little ship.
It is, but it does its thing, and yeah, it's just appreciate it.
Weird little vessel.
And like the way that Mariner not only was able to take the ship over, but then use the space debris to like come. Oh, she like really had control of the ship. I thought it was fantastic. It was just an amazing moment. I want to say hi to Grayson and Commander Jace. They've just joined us. Yeah, that Grayson. Great point. The Maquis definitely would like a word being line from this episode. The best line, my keys would like a word. But another,
they've got like the same face. That was my favorite.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. When Rutherford was like, but wait a minute, you sure? Another great moment was Captain Boimler.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, I absolutely love that. And he like kind of had like his own captain's voice. All right, hard to port, you know. Like
he just did. Anyone else feel like that was kind of? Am I the only one here that felt that was kind of like a precursor of things to come for him?
I fully agree.
Yeah,
what I'm saying, we should change the show to Middle Decks next season.
Middle Decks,
Middle Decks.
Yeah. If my green screen falls down here in just a minute, it's because the cats are climbing on it.
Oh, I thought you were on the Enterprise D. Oh,
yeah. Look, you just give them the transmuter and they will behave.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe if I just set my phaser on stun.
I don't think you do that on air.
You know, hopefully the ASPCA is not,
all they have to do is sit with these cats for 5 minutes. So they will completely understand and they will applaud my restraint.
We get you. But to your point, Joe, about the animation, it really feels like they just brought out the scope.
Yeah.
I mean, it felt like it could have been a Lower Decks movie in some scenes. It really, really looked very good. And I loved, to your point, the way they serviced every character. Of course, you know, like you said, some of them might have been, you know, voiced by the same actors and actresses, but they serviced every character really, really well. Yeah. And I loved our the revisit of our joke, the two Samuel Clemens. I mean, that's just...
Yeah, I do declare we will solve this issue.
Why does this keep working?
The only thing that surprised me is we never got a call back to Moopsie. Like, I was very surprised. Like, it's become such an internet hit. I know that the show was done long before Moopsie.
Yeah, I don't think that they predicted it. I think they thought everybody would think it was stupid. And then lo and behold, we've just embraced Moopsie and all of his bone-sucking glory. And it's
really blew up, didn't it? And it's
really did.
I do want to see a lot more of Moopsie now. I didn't think I would have feelings about this.
Me too.
Man, it's
now, to Paramount's credit, on Paramount UK's TikTok channel, they are doing Moopsie stuff.
Like
They had this video of Moopsie doing little Moopsie things. Like, this is my boy. I love my boy. Well, what about the murder? What murder?
Yes. So true.
And throwing the ship against the shield. I mean,
yes, that was incredible. That was
so awesome.
The way it broke apart and just became debris in a field, just like what the small ship was doing supposedly all over the universe. Fantastic.
Yes.
And I absolutely love the Captain Freeman coming in hard right after in the ship to get her daughter. I thought they really hit all the timing on point. And I was shocked to see that they got so much compacted into one 30-minute episode. I thought for sure it was going to be an hour-long foray, but no, they jam-packed it. They made it like really a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, it didn't feel rushed. It was very well-paced, and it was just really well done.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you mentioned it earlier, Jace, about how uneven the season finales have been for Lower Decks in the past, and this just was a testimonial to their writing about how much you could get crammed into that 30 minutes. It felt like it should have been a lot longer, but it actually was, and not the bad long where you're wanting it to end. We've all had some of those season finales. Talking to you, Shades of Grey, that it was just great. It was epic to Cosmic Mom Dave or Cosmic Mom Dove.
My legit mom, no joke.
Oh, really? Nice.
Yeah. It's not just a joke.
It's nice.
Really
nice.
Her. Yeah, real.
Hi, deal. Mom.
Hi, Mom. All right. Let us then. Fire at will.
Fire at will.
You know what you need to add right at the end of that is somebody saying, not again.
That's a good one. That's a good one. We'll talk to our commander about that. One of the things before we go on to fire at will, I just want to say again, if you're noticing my pop color yellow badge is back, and that is because I've totally placed it in an Aaron fuel, and I was able to transport it back onto my chest, and I'm super happy because it is brought to us by Shamel Corporation. They do a great job 3D printing. These things are amazing. The quality is stellar. It is above anything that you could have ever seen, and the magnetic pulse that makes this work is beyond your wildest imagination. So be sure to contact them today. Look at that. You hear that? It is because it works so well.
That is the sound of quality.
It is.
Gentlemen, was that just a magnet, or could that have been an anti-grav unit?
Yes, exactly.
I'm just saying.
It's so impressive. So impressive. But all right, here's the fray. We are left with a bit of an amazing cliffhanger, and that being Tindy with this badass look on her face, like, all right, you might have won that little bit, but I'm going to get you in the long run. Like, she had this look like.
Yeah, they're going to resolve it in the first episode.
You think it's going to be a resolve in the first episode?
I think we'll have the little adventure on the Cerritos, and it's going to go back to Orion and back and forth. And I think by the end of the episode, Tindy will have control of the entire Orion syndicate, and it'll be, I really didn't want this. I just want to go back to the Cerritos and do science. So, Erica, let me do that. Also, I think it's amazing that all the Orion names are just basically duh with a human name on the end of it, like da Erica, da Justin, da Brittany.
You're right.
I just love da Beth.
Yes.
I love that so much.
Oh my God. How did I miss that? I just was like, yeah, sure.
Da Erica.
Da Erica.
The only one is Davana. She does not have a human name. It's just Davana.
Yeah.
I apologize to any Ivanas out there watching right now, but you don't have a human name.
Yeah, sorry. I just want to give a big shout out to Claritin because I know this pain for this Orion. And when this scene happened, I was like, oh, I literally I better take my allergy medicine real quick.
That's going to be me in a couple of weeks, just a lot plumper and, giving off all kinds of gas.
Oh, yeah.
Ironically, because of poultry.
Did he get knocked out though? Because she just kind of fell on
top. She smushed him. So yeah.
So okay, in technicality, because I felt like, well, he didn't get knocked because it was like to the knockout or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, DeBeth was on top, so
DeBeth just squashed him.
look, it was the best thing Dr. Miglimo did. He did that better than he does his job.
I like Boimler's line. Oh, I'm gonna need a new type of therapist.
What any wagers on what his next therapist is gonna be? That's what I kept thinking about. Like this time it was a bird. What's it gonna be? Is it gonna be a descendant of Mr. Eric's?
Oh,
I think it would be fun to have a Klingon therapist.
You know
there's gotta be at least one.
It's gotta be.
A Klingon says, I want to join Starfleet. Well, here's a way that you can keep people from feeling pain without pharmaceuticals. Amazing. I must study this psychology.
Psychology, yes.
This is great. Yeah.
Your inner feelings are not honorable. You must confront them like the warrior you are.
Yeah.
I'm afraid our hour is up.
Or it could always be it could be some binars. It could be a set of binars.
Could you imagine
just like my last therapist? I can't understand you.
Could you imagine walking into a Klingon psychologist and you ask them a question like, why do I feel this way? And all of a sudden you're like grabbed from behind and a detox is put in your throat and you're like, what do you think?
How does it make you feel?
You are scared, aren't you?
Yeah, exactly. Is that urine?
Suddenly your childhood trauma doesn't seem so bad, does it?
Oh my goodness.
Okay, I want to write this up. Mike McMahon, I want to write the Klingon therapist episode.
I don't know. If Mike McMahon saw our other episode last couple of weeks ago, he might be like, I'm not talking to those guys.
That's the freak who keeps wanting the butt bugs to come back.
Yeah, exactly.
He thinks everything is butt bug related.
Why does he keep saying butt bugs?
Butt bugs and Moopsie.
And Moopsie, yeah, we need more of those.
Oh, we need butt bugs and Moopsie to join forces.
Oh my god.
Become bone sucking butt bugs. Ooh. I like the alliteration. Yeah. There we go. All right.
The butt brothers have joined together, and together we will destroy the Federation.
With the Klingon therapist.
With the Klingon therapist.
How does that make you feel? I'm not taking notes. I'm drawing a picture of you with a sword through your face.
So we know the themes have been consistent with the movies, and we know they did Star Trek IV. Now they're doing Star Trek V, the most controversial Star Trek film.
Oh, no.
So
they have introduced God.
Yes, they have.
They have.
Yes.
The great koala, hallowed be his name.
Yes.
May his chlamydia-soaked blessings bless us always.
Yes.
Do you think T'Lyn will have a brother that we've never heard anything about?
Absolutely.
Or sister?
Another brother, I think.
Another brother.
It'll be a Klingon brother that she's never talked about, who will then have to disappear into the future, and then we never talk about again.
Discovery.
Yeah, Tabak.
Tabak. Yeah,
Tabak.
Or Tabai. But
that would be a fun running joke. Is just every other episode, T'Lyn's got a new family member. Why haven't you ever told us about this person? Why have you never told me about your family members? Oh, okay.
I love that line. What does a space koala need with a starship? I love that.
Yeah. Oh, yes, Aaron Sugar. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me pull up these comments. Thank you for reminding me to do my job.
Oh, no.
Well, it's easy. You get a space koala gets a warship because it's a koala. It eats, shoots, and leaves.
Oh, yes. That's right. Shoots and leaves. Literally eats, leaves. Agamus should be the new council.
Oh, Agamus would be great. Amazing. Any excuse to get Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Tell me of your feelings so that I may destroy you.
And then hello from my stepmom, Dory. How's it going?
Hello. Like, the whole family. My daughter's name is Dory. That's awesome.
Yeah, great. We had that. Hi, Dory. A couple of seasons ago. let us go back. We've got some TV royalty in the room tonight, which makes me very happy. And I'm talking about Mr. Grayson. I think it was flawless. A perfect episode. Grayson. Not just a perfect episode of Lower Decks, but of Star Trek, period. No notes. Yes.
I completely agree.
Yes, thumbs up. Absolutely fantastic. Yes. Great to see you. And of course, you have been entered into the Wheel of Wind. And I know my co-host and my guest are wondering, what exactly is a Wheel of Wind? Well,
the Wheel of Wind, is that, isn't that the guy who played Wesley?
Well, yeah, that too. But the Wheel of Wind is your chance to win.
Oh my God, it's the Wheel of Agony.
It's no, no,
we're
no.
Not ready yet. Win. We're no.
No, but that's only 2 weeks away. And next week is the movie with our special guest from Unplanned Trek, Mr. Hogan. But this is the next 4 weeks, including today. Those of you who've commented, those of you who have liked and subscribed, are entered into the magical Wheel of Win. And we have about 40 people that have signed up, subscribed, and have commented in some way, shape, or form, or joined our live, like Grayson. Grayson is going to be added to the Wheel of Win. And what do you win? Are you guys wondering what the winnings are?
Well, I'm wondering what we win on the Wheel of Win.
Yes, what will you win on the Wheel of Win? You will win a plethora of amazing Star Trek merchandise, including cups, badges, some
Heffy, what that? Is a plethora?
Plethora. You know, more than one. Yes.
I cannot hear that word without thinking of that movie.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that this wheel was going to be like that one William Shatner was on where it spun around twice. It spun around really fast, and then two of him emerged from it. So,
yes.
You know, Dagger of the Mind. So that's what I thought was going to happen to each of us.
No, unfortunately. Oh, there's a great one here. It is the Wheel of Kai win. My child, you may win Star Trek merchandise. We've got a ton of wonderful Star Trek gifts.
My child.
My child, you have won advice from a false prophet.
Yes. And we've got some great stuff, including mugs, glasses, and a fleece, a Klingon fleece.
Ooh.
So there may be some either blood or blood wine on it. I can't be responsible for either, but you will win it. It's going to be a lot of fun. You can check out all those videos on
the owner of that fleece was weak. He could not survive an entire session with Klingon psychologist.
Yes.
But what should the Klingon psychologist be named? Be like a book. I don't know.
The Klingon fleece was warm enough, though, that one time I was on Rura Pente.
So, that's right.
Yes.
Rura Pente. Oh, Star Trek 5. Oh, no, that's 6.
6.
6. Yeah, 6. The good one.
Oh, whoa, Jason.
Yeah. Look at his eye.
Looking to kill.
Yeah, I know. I get that a lot, though. It's just, you know, how it happens. But bone sucking butt bug Borg drones.
Ooh. I'm for it. Let's do it. Let's throw in the transporter clones and we're all good.
Yeah, we're really stepping it up.
That'll be really the evil within, won't it?
Yeah. I felt for that, Orion. That's
poor F.
Admirals from the Frontier. And then Admiral Frontier, De'Erica is about to get her head carved by the real mistress of the Winter Consolidation. Yes, I think that's going to be so much fun. Grayson says
De'Erica is going to need a Klingon counselor.
But yeah, right? Exactly. Was the Genesis device explosion in the shape of a Kovalid starburst maneuver?
That kind of was. I don't know if it was more of a callback to Star Trek 2, but now that I think about it, maybe they did a double callback there. Because I don't know if you noticed, but the insignia on on Nick Locarno's jacket and all the ships was the Kovalid starburst.
Yeah.
So he's a bit obsessed.
Yes, we love it. Love it.
Do we think we'll see him again? You know, being the whole Genesis planet.
That would be kind of funny. Like, yeah. what if he is the planet, like Ego?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I felt. You know, I kind of felt that. And then to your point, Jason, earlier about, about the wrap up for our cliffhanger, it'll be buttoned up very nicely and neatly, you know, before episode two.
Absolutely. I'm going to say episode one. I think it'll be another one of those things where it's mostly resolved off screen. And Tindy just rolls up with the entire fleet. Like,
oh, hey, everybody. Guess who's in charge of all the Orion stuff? Okay, D'Erica, you can have it again, but so help me God. Do this to me again. I will cave your head in.
Yeah. To this day, my favorite unexplained solve was, and I'm not remembering his name at the moment, but our favorite Bajoran security officer. Oh, Bridge Crew always comes back.
Oh,
I love that. That's my favorite.
Yeah,
that's
Jax. Right.
Jax came back.
Jax, the very thank you.
Next day. Yes, Jax. Jax came back.
And he had to eject the warp core.
It was great. It was.
Yeah. Let me tell you about the Black Mountain, baby bear.
Grayson says the animation was fantastic. The explosions, the ships, the storm, and the dangerous, unpredictable space debris. Just stunning. Very similar. Yeah,
I'm going to add on top of that. I think that even the character animations have taken a step up because the faces are more fluid. The movement is more fluid. It's like and it's been that way for this entire season. So, yeah, it's been a glow up in the animation department.
I have a solve for this. Since they're no longer spending that money producing the amazing show Discovery, do you think they spread the budget across all the shows? And
that's
I would love to think that, but I don't think they did. Excuse me. I don't think they did, but you know,
they're pulling my action figures off the wall. That's what they're doing right now.
Well, better than the green screen.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're trying. They're trying really hard.
They're trying. No.
The sad thing is the green screen is covering up my bathroom right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, don't look. It's dirty there.
Yeah. And then our good commander.
The observation lounge.
This used to be a classy show. Yeah. Yeah. It was never classy.
When?
Yeah. So Jace, he is the inventor of the first contact bit. So, yeah. And that's been going since we started.
Yeah. He's the reason why we have fart jokes on the show in the first place.
Yes.
Where was your evolved sensibility then?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, Agamemnon would be perfect as the ship's counselor.
Your hour is up. Get out of my office before I destroy you.
Yeah,
what's behind the curtain?
Hey, Commander Chase, the shitter's full.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it's just a mirror. It's like the little sink area. That's all. There's the toilet's not back there.
All right.
The disco budget is going to Michelle Yeoh. You know what? She deserves it.
Every penny.
She deserves
every penny. She was the best thing in that Agatha Christie movie that just came out recently.
I didn't watch it. Was it so? Yeah, okay.
I think. The Haunting in Venice. I haven't seen it either.
It was okay. No.
I love Michelle, but I can't go see everything she's in.
No, I can't either. So, okay, since we talked about the disco budget going to Michelle Yeoh in Section 31, what are our expectations for Section 31? Will we be crossing into various generations in time? Will we be able to have little her spots in maybe TOS and Enterprise and so on and so forth? Or is this going to be a standalone mission that she will have to probably self-sacrifice because I don't think they have a budget to bring her back?
I have two words.
All right.
Butt bugs.
Oh no, not again.
They've got to do it this time. It's got to be the butt bugs.
So maybe she was behind the conspiracy bugs.
Perhaps.
It was a Section 31 plot to remove some admirals.
She's taking Moopsie with her to through the Forever Guardian.
Oh, yes. Guardian Forever.
We call him Carl.
Carl, this cigar.
Wait, why do I have to go back to an episode to find out why you guys call him Carl? Carl,
because his name is Carl.
Deep Space, Discovery.
In Disco. Yeah, in the future, they run across the Guardian of Forever, and his name is Carl.
Yeah, he's literally reading a magazine,
reading a newspaper.
Yeah, he's reading a newspaper, having a cigar. Hey, I'm Carl. It's like. Wait,
yeah.
What?
I forgot all about that.
Yeah, it was so like,
how could you forget about that? That was one of the coolest things Discovery's ever done.
Oh, they did a lot of cool things. They're like,
well, that though, the reveal, even though we kind of knew the reveal whenever that thing exploded and then put itself back together, and it was the freaking Guardian of Forever. That was amazing. I love
that. That was great. I just didn't remember the guy's name being Carl.
It was Carl.
It reminds me of that Monty Python. Oh, yes, I am a necromancer. My name is Carl.
Tim.
Tim.
Such
Tim.
A simple name for,
yeah, exactly.
For a creature of vast power.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think he'll have a junior one day?
He could have one now, for all we know.
Conjure it, yeah.
I really hope Ash Tyler shows back up again as well.
Yes,
I kind of feel like he was shortchanged.
Yeah.
I would like to see Jason Lorca, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would be fun. Lorca. Yeah.
Yeah. Any excuse to get Jason Isaacs back on the show.
Yeah. He's amazing.
Yeah.
I'd rather watch Section 31.
Only if I was writing it.
Section 31 and a half is their interview.
Section 31 and a half. It would be animated and it would be amazing.
I think there's a Paramount Plus opportunity here for the Naked Gun. Section 31 and a half. So
exactly. No, because that's our interview show. We spent a lot of money to do all these intros, so we want to make sure that we keep them. Paramount, you can give us some money. We'll negotiate.
Trademark that quick.
Trademark that so fast. Yeah. So any other predictions for season 5 and or the Section 31 movie and or Discovery? Because that's what we got. This is our section to just throw it up in the air and talk about anything. And since we have so much going on in the future, but it's so far away because of the writers and actors strike, which the writer strike is wrapped up so they can write all these things. But the actor strike is still ongoing. So please, support these actors.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I agree with Admiral Funniest Frontier that the time travel element of a Section 31 movie would be the most fun element. And obviously, the way we had Sliders, the way we had Quantum Leap, I think Michelle Yeoh using the Forever Guardian to get around and complete missions would be a fantastic movie. And that's personally what I envisioned for it and what I was hoping, because I loved, that was one of my favorite moments in all of Discovery, was the Forever Guardian reveal. That was, because that's one of my favorite Star Trek original series episodes. So I would love to see the Forever Guardian be a more consistent, maybe even Carl be Dean Stockwell too.
Michelle Yeoh. That would be cool.
That would be great.
Oh, look out, Paramount. Maybe you should hire Brian. Brian and Jason, come up with
We'd put together the most awesomest Star Trek show ever.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
One that people would watch.
No. Yeah, they would subscribe like gangbusters. They'd be awesome.
Exactly.
Jason?
Oh, so predictions. I'm going to go for Lower Decks. I if we're going to go towards a Star Trek 5 theme, I do think that it'll be the search for the Black Mountain and the Great Koala. We will see a family member show up. I'm kind of thinking that we're finally going to see what's going on with William Boimler. Because that's a loose plot thread they've never talked about before. And, more legacy characters, because I love when legacy characters pop up in Star Trek Lower Decks, even in the dumbest, most smallest ways. Like whenever Will Wheaton showed up this week, I was just like, it's actually Will. I didn't know if it was him at first.
That's a good one. I personally am looking forward to some of the Star Trek 5 throws that they're going to have in the next season, especially, what does the Great Koala need with a starship? As was said before, I think that would be fantastic. And of course, we still have Guji. And for, now he's on the ship because we saw him in working order. So there could be a possibility where Guji turns back into Badgie.
Yeah.
And, Jason would absolutely love that. And they could go and
kill Peanut Hamper.
Peanut Hamper.
No, kill Peanut Hamper.
No. They would scoop up Peanut Hamper and have a brand new mansion. No. Stop trying to kill Peanut Hamper. Aaron Sugar says, season 5, they meet the whole world's oldest living ensign.
Harry Kim. Let's do it.
That would be fun.
It would be funny if he actually still was an ensign. That would be terrific.
Oh man,
that would really be terrific. I would really love that.
That would be mean. He's done so much. And then Admiral Spanish was here. Boimler with the Cybok half brother would be great, but I don't think they'd do that. And that's something I think they always would have
He could always have like an Aenar or an Andorian brother, and they could explain that's why he has purple hair is because he's got like Andorian relatives or something. I don't know. That would be kind of fun.
It would be interesting if we had Garrett Wong up here, since we've had Tom Robert
Duncan.
Robert Duncan McNeil on. I think it would be great if Garrett Wong was on, and he was the voice of Rutherford's long lost brother and fellow engineer. I think that would be a really neat plot twist, and that would be the whole basis of the next season. And he would be the Cybok for Rutherford, because we don't really know much about Rutherford's family.
That would be a good little
tidbit. Mike McMahon's at home going, maybe. I'll write that down.
I think that Klingon therapist idea.
Yeah, that's a cool one.
It's terrific. And it could be the very same one that Mariner spilled her guts to in the cave.
Oh, that's true. That's another prediction for me is I think Mariner and Ma'a are going to become an item.
Ooh, Ma'a.
I remember you saying that last week. Yeah. And that's they really bonded in a way that she doesn't bond with many people.
She can just trot down the Cerritos corridor with Ma'a on her arm, walk by Jennifer, like, hey, Jennifer, look what I got.
And could you just imagine Mariner engaging in the Klingon mating ritual?
I can see that.
She'd whoop the crap out of him.
Yeah, exactly. That's my point. Exactly.
Yeah, that would be.
I mean, what Klingon man wouldn't want her?
Yeah. Yeah. These are all fitting. Explanations into what could possibly be in the future. I think these are all wonderful ideas, and I hope even if one of them happens in the show, I would be like super ecstatic.
I'm gonna get one right sooner or later.
I haven't been myself to throw out any ideas out there until today. I just know we're gonna have a mysterious relative appear that nobody knew about, and I'm gonna lean towards Rutherford because we've got enough attendees already. So I think it would be great if it's rough with the Ferds, and I think we're going to have an adventure to meet a god. Who knows? But Grayson has a great ask. Not anytime soon, but I would love to see a live action Lower Decks movie.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I would love seeing that. Yeah. Or at least see, Tindy and Rutherford get a go somewhere.
Yeah. We need Tinderford.
Yes.
Yeah. It needs to happen already.
FWIW. Garrett Wong liked the idea. Oh, interesting. Harry Kim is getting his promotion on Lower Decks would be fitting. Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
That would be. Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Kind of funny.
We got to have him join in on the chant, lower decks.
And then go, I'm not lower decks anymore. Bye.
And it turns out it really wasn't him at all. It was like a transporter accident, Harry Kim. And
oh,
Harry
no. Not again. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for me. Do you guys have anything else you want to share before we go? I want to give it to Brian to talk about his podcast and give us a little bit about the world he is in on his show.
So on this Stardate is we're still in the process of like living life, and unfortunately haven't been able to get back to doing it as quickly as we would like to. But my wife is going to be joining me on the air. She was working behind the scenes before, so we're going to have that nice yin and yang. And I do have a couple of great interviews lined up that I want you guys to hear. So we're coming back probably just after the beginning of the year, and I'm very excited to get back to doing it. We're going to do reviews, and we're also going to be talking about just Legacy Trek.
Excellent. Excellent. Jason, do you want to talk about your other podcast?
Well, we have the VHS Vault and the Power of J-Skull. And if you don't agree, you're wrong, over on the Jason Roy Gaston YouTube channel.
There it is.
Look at that. So beautiful. I've also started doing movie reviews. Nice. We just got done doing the 31 spooky movies of Halloween, and I don't want to give anything away, but I've got Christmas stuff around the corner and a very special review of a timeless Thanksgiving movie that I just watched that you just have to see to believe.
Oh, okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. I just want to shout out our good friends, Pop Culture Spread. Be sure to check them out every Friday night. They're talking about movie and streaming news. A lot of things going on, especially with the unraveling of the Loki series. Lots to talk about. These guys are going to be very busy. Check out our buddy Rick and Jace as they dive into those things. I can be found on To Be Seen. I don't have a graphic for myself, but you can see all the other horror stuff that we have for you in store in tobeseen.com. The number 2, BESEANE. Because you want to be seen. I want to be seen. We want to be seen. To be seen. It's very important that you go check that out. Not really, but it's a lot of fun. If you enjoyed my witty humor, you can go check me out over there. And we just want to shout out our good friend Ray. Be sure to check out the Captain Squadron Section 31 and a half interview that I had with the Neutral Zone CEO, Ray Tsai, who has the original series set in Georgia, sweet Georgia.
So, I say Georgia.
I say Georgia. I do declare we should get on a steamship and head over to Georgia.
But Mark Twain, the Mississippi, don't flow in that direction.
Are you sure it flow everywhere? I say you. Well, that is going to be the end of Lower Decks. Season 4, what a great way to wrap up a fantastic season. Jason, thank you so much for being with me every episode of Lower Decks. Brian, thank you so much for being a fantastic guest star. We appreciate every moment that you've spent here with us hanging out. Thank you
for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely, absolutely. And next week, we will be talking with our good friend Aaron Hogan from the Unplanned Trek podcast, and we will be talking about Star Trek 3, ship. Safe? What is that line, Jason?
Out of danger. Ship. Out of danger.
Yes, ship. Out of danger.
I just wanted to see that one scene at the end, you know, whenever Spock's alive again, he looks at Jim and goes, "Your name is Jim. Ship. Out of danger." And Kirk is just quiet, goes, "Out of danger, isn't it?"
Do you know how many people named Jim I've done that to, and no one ever gets, "Your name is Jim."
That's terrible. Shame on them. Oh, my brother's name is Jim, and if I say it to him, he won't get it either. And I have a Star Trek podcast with my friend.
They're lost. Yes,
he's dead, lost. Jim.
Yeah, yeah, I should do that too. Should push him on the
joke's
floor.
Dead, Jim. For God's sakes, man.
Yes, yes. So be sure to join us for all the fun. Star Trek 3, The Search for Spock. And right after The Search for Spock, we are going into The Agony Booth.
Dun, dun, dun. Ah, what was the episode that we drew last time? Or did we draw one last time? I don't even remember.
No, we're going to draw it on the movie.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, we're going to draw that on the
movie. Oh, no.
And oh, yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, my. And of course, after that episode, and we go into the Agony Booth, two episodes after that, we will have the big 100th episode. Can you believe it? We've done
100. Wow.
It's amazing.
We really have no life.
No, we have a life. It's Star Trek. Star Trek is love. Star Trek is life.
I'm so lonely.
I feel like outside of watching it and my online interactions, I just have not had as much time to dive back into the podcast aspect of it, because my wife and I are a team of two. On that on the podcast. So but I'm looking forward to getting back into it and returning the favor, having you guys on, because I know that will be the funnest episode I ever do.
Yeah. With bells on for sure. And then my last thing as we go, we have a new challenger. Yes, for our 100th episode, we're going to have a very special guest, and more to come on that in the future. So be sure to like, share, and subscribe. Do all those wonderful YouTube things to help the algorithm and our show succeed and grow. We will see you next week, Thursday, same chime, same channel.